Come, let's give them a welcome this morning. Thank you, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Oscar was in Houston on Friday, and that was when it started raining, but it was in the evening. He left Houston at 6 o'clock, and he was going to leave at 7 o'clock, and he wouldn't have got out of Houston. So we're pretty happy that you did get out of Houston at 6 o'clock a.m. instead of 6 o'clock p.m. So bless you in that, and he's going to share his heart about the word of the Lord. Thank you, praise and worship team. Let's give them a hand. All right.
Oh, man.
Oh, you got your...
Yep. Well, it's always great to be back home.
Amen.
Wow. I'm going to say that again. It's always great to be back home, huh? Whenever the soldiers go out into war, I mean, in war, it's just not an easy place. It's a place where you're hurt. It's a place where you are wounded. It's a place where you are devastated. But when that individual comes back home, home transforms into heaven for that individual. And that's the same thing I feel this morning, and I've been feeling this couple of days. Kind of, I'm home. I'm in heaven. I'm a piece of heaven right here on earth. Amen? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. This might be your longest or the longest message you ever heard, or the shortest message you ever heard. Depends on how the Lord wants to address his people. One of the things that I've learned throughout these days is that, I wouldn't say the years, I would say this day, because the Lord is really dealing with me in this sense, is that we need to open our ears, and bear with me because of the language. I kind of been stuck into a Spanish country so long, but I'm starting to learn another language, and that is Namaste, Menara Masker He. And you answer, Ochimilco Kuchiwi. So it means we're going into an Indian territory now. But God has given us a global mentality. Sometimes this thought of being a global mentality, it messes with people's mind, because people will come into a state where they feel safe. We tend to come into a position where we are good at the place we're at, good at the culture we live in, and good at the safety that the place provides. But when you get a global mind, your body, your thoughts, your spirit urge you to move to a place where you never been before. And that might be physical or spiritual. We don't tend to stay in the same place where we at. I mean, just look at ourselves. We really want to be back in the age where we have 15, but the time doesn't happen that way. Times add more years to your life. And with those years, it comes with experience. The way you think is not the same way you thought 15 years ago. The way you see things are not the same way when you were a child. Now you see things in a different manner, in a different way. But you understand what happens or why your parents act this way, because now you are a parent and you're acting the same way that your parents did. And believe me, that combo, that's tough. So having this global mentality is a place or a condition where you have to move out of the situation where you are. And this is why God, I think, which I know, God have connected me with you guys, because you guys have a global mentality. You don't stick only in favor of a fold, but you oversee the globe. You oversee, hey, where do we go next? What is it this year? What are we going to do this year? What is the mission trip we're going to go this year? That's a global mentality. So it never put you in position where you stay the same. You change. God like changes. If I have to put a title, into this message that will be renew your hope. And we're going to speak about a story in the Bible that shows us the way of how to renew our hope. Hope has to be renewed every day. God mentions in His Word that every day is a day where you experience mercy. Every time you wake up, the first thing you ought to think is, God, thank you because you have given me this day, and I'm going to get the blessing of living another day. I'm going to get the blessing of spending time with my family, with my dad, my mom, my daughters, my son, my brothers, my sibling. It is a blessing. The more years you add to your life, the more you desire, the more you appreciate every single day you live in. I just turned 25. I just turned 40. It was a couple of weeks ago. And believe me, every day that passes by, I mean, the desire or the feeling to be among my family, my relatives, my son, my daughter, my wife, is so strong that even I travel, I have to be in constant communication with them. That is the same way we feel whenever we spend another day and we wake up into a new day and we ask the Lord and we tell God, thank you because I feel you every day that passes by. Because I'm alive. Because I'm here with you. Because I'm here at church with my fellow brothers and sisters just saying, God, we love you. That is such a good experience. If you're laying down, and I will say you, this is not a prophetic word, nothing like that. I was just comment. If you were laying down on a bed, on a death row, every single day will be a gift. Every single hour will be a gift. And you will try to take advantage of that time. That is the way we have to live. Even though we're not laying on a bed, even though we're not in a hospital, we have to live with desperate. You know, God, thank you for this minute you give me. And when you put yourself in that situation, on that state, believe me, there's not a day that will go by without you at least doing something for somebody else. There's not a day that will go by at least that you will come into a position of prayer. Lord, I come to you and I pray for this person and this and that and that and that. That's the kind of urgency we need to have in our life. An urgency to come and achieve what the Lord has told us to do. So the story that I want to share with you, it's on John 11, chapter 11, verse 1 to 45. I don't come here to read the Bible, to read the whole thing, but we will read it because there are some points that I would like to address that will definitely change your mind. When you come out of this service, when you come out of this time, you will have a new perspective on what is to renew your hope. Because, yeah, we want to renew our hope every day. I want to do this in a better way. Yes, I want to do that in a better way. But when hope comes in a situation that you really need hope, not just a desire. Hope is not a state where you are, oh, I desire, I hope. No. The real hope is when you are in need of hope, when you are in need of a healing, desperate hope, desperate feeling, desperate to do things, to do that and that. That is when you renew hope. That is the position where you have to renew hope. When you see that nothing is trying or working your way, that nothing or whatever or all the things are pulling you down, but you are just getting the train and just pulling the train, like Pastor Jake was mentioning, the train is coming and nothing is going to stop it. But when you were pulling the train, then the train sank you, back you up, then you say, God, I need hope. Send hope. Renew my hope. This story that the Bible tells about this man, about this family, God's always speaking about family. He's always addressing family. He's always interested in family. The devil is trying to destroy family. In putting you thoughts, putting thoughts in your mind, oh, they don't like me. Oh, I'm just poor me. Oh, my dad doesn't love me. Oh, my dad loves my brother rather than me. Oh, this and that. And I am not accusing the age you're living in, because that same thought is being we as an adult, or you as an adult and me as a youth, we always get that thought, oh, they don't like me. Oh, they don't, oh, what if they don't like my message? What if they don't like what I'm saying? What if I say something wrong? Oh, you know what? I quit, I'm not going. Oh, sorry, I'm scared too much that I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, now a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was healed. There was a situation that the Bible is telling us about a family, that something went wrong. Something was happening in that family that they were trying to... they wanted something to change. They want something, a shift coming out in their life. But up to this point, it was not a harmful situation. It was just that Lazarus was healed, was ill. And like I say, forgive my, it's difficult. It's not the same to speak English and Spanish in Miami than up here. You guys saw lecture. I mean, the English you speak is so... Yeah, Bostonian. I love you guys. I'm just trying to break the ice. You see, you guys are so serious. So, there was this lady that we hear about the Bible, and I'm not going to go into context because you might think or you might not think that Maria was the same lady as Maria Magdalena. There's some discussion about it, you know, whether it's her or not. I'm not going to go deep into that. I'm just going to go Maria, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, okay? So I don't mess with your mind. So it means that God is so focused into getting inside the family or dwell among the family. And Mary and Martha, they knew something was wrong with Lazarus. And the Bible doesn't explain where if their mom and dad were living in, or they moved away from their home, or they were living in another town. Well, they were living in another town, but the Bible doesn't explain that much. But the Bible does explain that there was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. If you come to a point back in those times, the one in charge of the benefits of the home, or the one in charge to take care of the home, it was the man. So we see these two ladies now being concerned about that the one who is in charge of taking care of guarding them is ill. Something wrong with Lazarus. Mary was the one who anointed Jesus' feet. But Martha, Mary would like to listen. And I'm putting you into a context so we can understand all what is happening here in this story. Mary, she loves to listen. Mary was the one who was at the feet of Jesus Christ, and she was listening. Sometimes we think that Martha is the devil. Oh, yeah, Mary was the one that came and put the perfume on Jesus' feet. And Martha, she just was taking care of the house, you know. Martha, she loved to serve people. Sometimes we're in, that's not a bad situation. That's what we ought to do, serve people. But there are times in our life that we need to stop and listen. Stop and listen. Business-wise, all the businesses are encouraging their people to listen to your clients. Listen to your clients. Listen what they are screaming at you. It's not what they're saying, it's what they're screaming at you. We tend to come and sell the products that we want to sell instead of selling what the client wants to buy. And I'm not speaking about business. This is some other point that we might discuss in business situation. But what I'm saying is that we need to listen. Listen what God is saying. Listen what people is saying. So we can address their issue. Martha was doing the greatest thing ever, which was serve the people. And I believe that Martha, when Jesus Christ came into their home, Martha, she wanted to listen to Jesus, but their home was not ready to receive Jesus. And like you've been taught last week, is that your identity is not of what because of what you do, but your identity is because what God made you. That is your identity. But then we see Martha cleaning out the place. Oh, you know what? Jesus is coming, and let's just set things ready. That is not what we're doing right now. Jesus is coming, and we're getting our church, because you are his church. We're getting our church ready. But then we get confused with us, what is happening around us and with commercials, things you want to do, that you stop listening. This happens only in Nicaragua. We're starting to listen to our wives. I know you guys listen to your wife a long time before. Man, it's hard when you don't listen. When you listen to your wife, the best things happens. Best thing happens. I mean, I got in so much trouble with credit cards and co-dears, as I say, just trying to be your coming out from somebody else on his death. And my wife, you know, she told me, Oscar, get out of that. No, they're my friends. They're not gonna do that to me. And then, yes, they did that to me. It's the worst thing to pay somebody else's debts and you without at least having something. So we ought to listen. We ought to listen what is happening around us. We ought to listen what our Jews are saying. We ought to listen what our neighbors are saying. They are screaming at us. They're saying, we need something. We need something. We need what you have, but how can we get it? If we don't listen, we will lose big time. So the sister sent a message to the Lord. He whom you love is ill. He whom you love is ill. The guy, I'm going to say in a way I understand, because that's almost King James Version, Val. Your friend is ill. You got to do something. You have to do something. Don't just stay right there. Come on, show me the love. Show me your love. Show him the love that you say you love, that you express that you did, that you love him. They were acting. When we hear something, when we hear our family cries, we have to go there in our knees and say, Lord, do something. Something's happening. Something's about to happen. There are situations that comes and really struck you, but situations that comes and you know that they will come because you were hearing or you were not hearing. You were hearing, but you were not paying attention to things that were going to happen. And I'm not saying that Jesus didn't hear what was happening. He knew all things. He knows all things. But he wants to show us and he wants to prepare us and equip us through the situation. This is the way most of us speak with Jesus. We tell him what he knows. He already knows. The Lord knows who is sick among us. The Lord knows our illness in a deeper way, more than what you will understand or know. God loves us in the middle of our illness. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "The illness does not lead to death, rather than it's God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Through the situation I faced 3 years ago, through my mom's sickness, years after when she died, I mean, there were so many questions. Why, Lord? Why? Why did it have to happen? Why? We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't go partying. We don't do this and that. We follow your path. But why? 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 This is probably a hardest way to say it. But God uses situation for his name to be glorified. And it's hard to say it because God is love. And I know God is love. But because he is love, he uses circumstances to attract his children or his children into his path. And in any way, shape, or form, I'm trying to dictate or say or mention or show God faces that is an evil face. No. God's will never have an evil face. It was only faces love for his children. And what do you do whenever when you love a child and your child is acting on a way that he shouldn't? What do you do? You bring him into correction. Oh, you thought I was going to say you spank him. Well, sometimes I wish. But no, that's not true. You know, illness, or I will say illness, I'm just going to say circumstances are a point that brings you into mediation or a position where you address God. Back in the 80s, when Nicaragua was facing a war, churches were so full. I mean, we had a revival of churches because of people having fear of what's going under the situation in Nicaragua, that churches were so filled of people. But now you tell people up to this point when freedom is so beautiful. But sometimes we misuse freedom. Oh, yeah, we come to a point where, you know what, I'm not going to church today. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to go and through the gathering of the saints, because you are his church. And where we gather is just a gathering of the saints. So the churches was full. And probably I have not mentioned this before, because there are stories in our life that are not meant to be shared. But when you share it, it impacts people. Without any fear, I'm going to share with you guys. Okay, share it. I came to this state, to the United States, back in the 80s as a wetback. When you guys speak about immigrants, We have to know deeply, just like the story we're reading from the Bible, what was going in and what was happening in our family. You have to know that when you are an immigrant and you're migrating from, and I would say my example, from Nicaragua to the States back in the 80s, I was still 6 years old. And I will never forget each individual day that we went through. Trying to run for the war, for a civil war, that they will take you down to war whether you want it or not. They will drag you out from your home. They will drag you out from your school, from whatever you are, and put you and give you a rifle and just put you into a mountains and then, fight and shoot. So we were the one, or we were one of the people that migrated. But during this period, during this situation, fear, the fear that family faces. We speak about the underground church. It's the same feeling. If you come out, they might turn you back, get you, and put you in jail. And as a six-year-old child, I remember seeing the thing or hiding and scared. And there was just one time where we were at a hotel and the federal Mexican police came knocking the doors down looking for immigrants. But we were praying. We started praying and all of the doors were knocked down, but our doors was not knocked down. I remember finding a coin in one of the luggage we had, and coming down from the second floor up to the store that the hotel had, and just buying a couple of tacos and share it with my brothers. That would probably be the only food that we had that day. Mexican tacos are good. Yeah. And then we move on. We were moving from this port, which is Coatzacoalcos. I remember the name because they were giving us a food, a fish that I didn't like. So we were moving from Coatzacoalcos to Tamaulipas. And on the bus we were riding, the driver, he told on us. He stopped on a federal Mexican police station, and he was saying, hey, I have some immigrants. Just take them down. So the chief of the police came into the bus and he said, dragged my dad down. And then we saw my dad coming in, and we saw the chief telling the driver, if you tell on them on the next stop, they have my number and they'll call you and you'll be in trouble. God's protecting you all the way. And then when we crossed the river, you know the feeling of crossing the river. It's just like the Jewish people crossing the river from Egypt to the promised land. We call crossing the river. It was beautiful. That experience is beautiful in a sense that now that you say it, all what you faced through and where the Lord took us, I mean, it was just like this Israelite people coming down from Egypt up to the promised land. And the one thing I remember when I, on the first house that I went into the state, you're not going to believe this, but I was admiring the ketchup was a bottle. I'd never seen a ketchup bottle just like the one I saw that day. And whenever I see a ketchup bottle, it reminds me. Ooh. So, and thanks God, because Nicaragua had an agreement with the state back those days that we went to immigration. We said we're Nicaraguan. Okay, they're legalized us because of the war stuff, you know. And but I'm mentioning this because I'm to this point, I wouldn't be here if that didn't happen. So God uses circumstances not just illness, because the Bible mentioned illness with Lazarus, but situation. You might be facing a situation that sometimes we need to go through those, because the result's going to be so beautiful. And I'm going to go on, because I told you it's going to be the shortest message or the longest message. Oh, well, it's not cooperating with me. Oh, there you go. There it goes. Through Jesus, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was healed, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When you read this, you might, why? Why did Jesus stay 2 days longer? And when we read throughout the chapter, we will see that he came on when hope was not alive. So he stayed there for 2 days. Why was the reason why Jesus stayed there for 2 days? Microwaves are the devils. And I've been telling that, Pastor Jay. He tried to eat me microwavable food, and I'm, no. No, I don't like microwaves. But we live in a microwave culture. We want things fast. Fast and now. So Jesus wanted to show Martha and show us too that wait, I have a purpose in this. Everything was delayed. Everything what is he doing? Yeah, I believe that Martha, and especially Martha, because of that mentality of having everything ready. Why? Where is he? But he wanted to show something that will affect you and me. Wait. Especially now, living in a microwave culture. Wait. We've been asking for things. You've been asking for things. You and I, we have been asking the Lord for a certain answer. But the Lord is saying, wait. I have it. It's on my hand. But wait. Relax. One thing that I'm learning is that just relax and enjoy the ride. Especially when you have kids, three, and a wife. Wait. If you love me, Lord, why don't you answer or respond immediately? Lord, there's my kids going through a situation. My kid doesn't want to come to church. Why you are not answering me? What's going on? I want you, the Lord, want you to keep on praying. Because there's a testimony being reborn. Things we go through, situation we go through, once the Lord fixes it up, is a great testimony. Then after he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Well, he already spent 2 days in a place where he was delaying the situation. And then he said, oh, you know what? Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again? Oh, there's chikungunya in Miami and Nicaragua. Oh, there's a fever in Brazil. Oh, there's fever in Africa. Oh, there's this and that. Oh, there's bomb in London. Oh, there's Barcelona being attacked with this and that. Oh, I'm not moving. You know what? I'm staying home. I'm good at home because I hear all this news. People, We have to start hearing God instead of the news. Sometimes we stop or we don't act because, oh, people are saying this, people are saying that. No, go and experience yourself. Go and not only to experience, but also to come and do a spiritual battle. And you know what? If this is happening, I'm hearing God telling me that I have to go, I ought to go, and I ought to do this and this and that. The Lord is not pleased on just a state where you are, you know, you are pleasant. Or a position where you're pleasant. He wants you to move. If you're asking the Lord to move, why wouldn't you? Lord, move on my behalf. Lord, move on my behalf. And the Lord is telling you, move on my behalf. Move on my behalf, and you will see that all the things you have asked me, I will come and give it to you in 100-fold. Because we only see it one way. But this is a two-way lane. It's a two-way lane. You have to act on his behalf. Yes, he don't need our help. God doesn't need our help. But he wants to see us obey. Oh, I see my son or daughter obeying. How beautiful it is. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't do it. I saw you. I saw your intention. And I'm pleased with your intention. I'm pleased with you obeying. That's what I want to see. That's what the Lord is telling us. There are projects. And I mentioned traveling because that's how the Lord used me in this way, in traveling to many different places. But probably traveling is not your concern. It's a project that you need to do. Like praying project. It's a global mentality. Like building a place for the needed. But we ought to do something, people. We ought to do something. Because I work from my home. My kid, he was asked by dad, and that, and I was working, and suddenly I say, I'm not listening to my kid. If the Lord has placed me here to work from my home, I have the advantage to come and turn around and say, son, what do you want? Come on, let's do it. Take 5 minutes away from what you're doing and listen and act that way. My kid, he appreciates whenever things like that happens. We have to listen to what the Lord is saying without no fear. Whether we will encounter on the other place. Jesus answered, and there are not 12 hours of daylight. Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not on them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. He had a mission, and so do you, and so do I. He had to accomplish that mission, and because he knew what's going on, and he knew the result that was going to be out of that situation, he was focused on finishing the mission that he had. He didn't instantly came to Lazarus and healed him, because then the story that we will be speaking about will be totally different. Oh, and God and Jesus Christ went to Lazarus' place and he was healed. It's easy to say that you are blessed with your refrigerator full. But when your refrigerator is empty and you don't have nothing to eat, would you say you're blessed? Is this making sense, people? Are you still awake? The disciples say to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hope was finished. For man's mentality, there was nothing else to do. Nothing else. Oh, you know what, Jesus? He's already dead. You can continue doing what you're doing. But that was not his purpose. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you might believe. But let us go into him. Thomas, oh man, there's the Thomas always around. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciple, let us go that we may die with him. The way I understand it is that he was mentioned, let us go and finish this up, wrap this up. Everything's cooked, you know, now, and we don't have nothing to do. Let's just go there, have an act of presence, and let us move on. That's what I believe Thomas was saying. He did not saw, and he did not hear what Jesus was saying. Jesus did not forget what was going on. He was doing his work. He was doing his assignment, but he did not forget. So the Bible continued and said, when Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany, and he was in Bethany, and he said, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha was the one who was cleaning the house, not paying attention, but she learned something out of what happened before that I need to hear. When she heard that Jesus is coming, she ran into him. She ran into him. Probably to gossip. Yeah, but she ran into him. And she was telling him, God, Jesus, my brother have died. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She was accusing him in some way. Lord, if you would have showed up, this wouldn't have happened. And I tried to, my tongue would. Yeah. So I said it right. So if this would, I mean, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. I'm trying to figure Martha, full of pain, alone. What are we going to do now in a male society? What are we going to do? There's no hope anymore. If you would have been here, then we would have hope. But since you were not here, hope is dead. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know, Jesus. I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Wow. You had Jesus that was performing miracles, that you know he's the Son of God. And you told me, I know he will rise again, because she was looking at the situation with her human optics, with her human mentality, without knowing that God's power overpasses death. Yes, that's right. Been talking to Pastor Jake about it, is that God is the creator of everything. And if you take death from God, then you are saying that God is not the creator of everything. That is part of what he is. And I'm going to explain this in the part. It's not physical death that he is part of what he, that is part of what he is. It's a spiritual death. God is telling us you have to die in this and this and that in order to be reborn. He speaks to us about reborn, renew into your new days, experience new hope. Renew the project that you had. I remember when I was a kid, I had two projects that I wanted to do in my life. And that was being an astronaut, and that and the other one is being married. I just accomplished one. Getting married. But, and then where was the astronaut part? It died when the kid died. It died when I stopped being a kid. It was just that probably was not the thing I wanted to do or the thing. Oh, my God, look at that. We got a global mentality, and now we're like a universe mentality. Oh, man, that's deep. We are a universe mentality. Because we're speaking about heaven and earth and universe and stars and sun. People, we are. We have a universe mentality. So it means no limit. There's no limit for you and I. No limits when you have God in your heart. There's no limit when God is the center of your heart. You may achieve whatever you have desire when you have God in the midst of your desire. But sometimes it's not God in the midst of the desire by myself. Oh, I want to achieve this because I want to, okay, myself. Sometimes I got to speak to myself. Myself, what are you doing? And I learned that from Pastor Jake. I honor you, Pastor Jake. You're my spiritual dad. And Pastor Sandra, you're my spiritual mom. And when you had that, you remember when Abraham said, God spoke to Abraham and said, we're going to have a child like the stars, the many stars. So that's been universal. It's your universal mentality. So if you take away the portion that God, that death belonged to God, then you are really putting him in a box. Because you're saying, okay, he's dead. There's nothing God can do. There's nothing God can do. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, even though your desire die, even though your hope die, even though that what you wanted achieved die, will live. Your desire, people will live. Whether you want to, whether it's go to university, whether it's move out to another state and start something else, it will leave. The passion, the desire will leave. Rise up, Church of God. Rise up. I have to keep on constantly saying that to myself because I start, you know, I start lowering myself sometimes. You know, it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes I just, I can't do that. They're going to tear me down. They're going to break me apart. I'm going to go there and preach in Thief River Fall Community Church International, and people's going to stare at me, and then they will not like me, and I want to go there and might say something wrong, and you know what? Them Thief River people, Now, you're the most precious people. I will change Miami to Thief River Falls. There's no Miami on my mind. Just Thief River Falls. And when I travel to Miami, it's just like being in Latin America as well. So, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this? He asked him. And she said again, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. That's not what Jesus wanted to hear. I believe that he can live. That instead she came, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. He did not recognize it. He recognized him as a teacher, but not like the creator. When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and he's calling you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, counseling her, so Mary got up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she kneeled at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Does that run in the family? I mean, oh Lord, that the woman who poured out the perfume on his feet and was listening to him, she stopped listening. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They say to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. Out of the Bible, there are only two situations where we see the Lord weep. And I like the Spanish person, is llorar with passion, with Spanish passion. Llorar. He cried. And the reason why he cried is because of his friend and because of the situation he was going to face. And that was out there in Nazareth? No, not sorry, with in the garden where he was going to So he cried. The Son of God, the Creator of everything, he cried. I can see Jesus still crying up to this point for his people. They are not believing. They are living a Christian life, but without the power of the Christian life. And this is something I think, I continuously think, Lord, I want to live a Christian life, but I want to have the power of Christ in my life. So he cried. And why did he cry? And I'm going to go into one verse, which is John, 1 John chapter 4. And the one person that says at the end of verse 8 is, anyone who does not love does not know God. And the verse ends with this, God is love. I can see that on the walls. I can see that on wherever we are. We always put God is love. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But this time, we're not going to read it the way it is written. We are going to change. Careful with that. That's why I mentioned first, God is love. And we are going to change the word love with God. Because I am not doing nothing against what the Bible has said. I'm just saying, if God is love, and if the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said love, then what is love? It's God. So let's read it. If I speak the tongues of man or angel, but I do not have God, I am only a resounding going or a clanging cymbal. If I don't have God, if I don't have God in my life, I'm just repeating thing. And I became like a what's that, Brazilian bird singing, rah. A parrot? Yeah, because Nicaraguan birds are intelligent. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have God, I am nothing. You can't separate God from love. Because people tend to put love separated from God. Oh, I love the way they're thinking. You know, I don't care they this or that. Because that is love, God, love. Wait, love is God. And if we go to Deuteronomy, and we will see there's, I don't know if chapter 13, I don't have it written down, but he said, if you do this, and if you trust God, then you will have this. And you trust God, then you have this. And this, if you trust God, trust God, da, 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 da. It's like 13 verses. But then he got like 27 more if you don't do it. And I'm going to read all the way to the bottom, and that's, I'm going to end with this. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body and hardship that I may boast, but do not have God, I gain nothing. God is patient. God is kind. And I'm going to change the word it because it refers to the word love, but I'm going to put God. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrongs doing. Wow. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God's never failed, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. But where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what in this part disappears? When I was a child, I talked like a child, I talked like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the weight of a child behind me. For now we see only the reflection as a mirror, but then we shall see the face to face. Now I know in part that I shall now fully even as I am fully known, and now these three remains, faith, hope, and God. But the greater of this is God. Hope needs to be risen. And we read throughout the story about Lazarus, we know that when Jesus came into the tomb and he said, Lazarus, wake up. And I'm going to change the word Lazarus. I'm going to go, hope, wake up. Revive. Come alive again. Come alive, people of God. There are hopes that need to be rising in this house. There are hopes that need to be rising in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Don't let go of your dream. Don't let go of your dream. Because hope is still alive. I'll ask, please, for you to stand up. The song we sang at the beginning, it was about love, about God, that we will dwell in Him, that there's nothing that we can do without Him. Father God, we come to You this morning. We're asking You, Lord, let hope arise in our life. Let hope arise in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. Lord, there are dreams, desires that we have buried them. But you come this morning and God is telling you, come alive. Come alive. Because if I said so, I am going to do it. If I have separated you for him, Lord have separated you for his glory, you will see his glory in your life. Lord, I ask you this morning that the word that was spoken in this house, that the word that was spoken in my life will remain forever and ever and ever. And everything I do will move me closer to the fulfillment of your glory. I ask, Lord, for hope to be arise in those who already lost hope. Because there's nothing greater than you, Lord. You are a God that does not lie. You're a God that does not faint. You're a God that what you say you will do. And if the Lord has said something to you, he will do it. He will do it.
You know, we are better together, and when we go into different places, the battle that we have with communication and areas, we get together, and the battle is won by us working together. And so would you interpret for me? Yes, would the battle, when the battle comes, you got it on the mic? Okay, when the battle comes,
cuando la batalla se acerca,
the power of God will do great things in our lives.
El poder de Dios es el que va a hacer grandes cosas en tu
vida.
It'll
break down every barrier that we stand in.
Va a quitar toda la barrera la cual se está interponiendo con
God
nosotros.
Is ready to do miracles and signs and wonders in your life today.
Dios está listo para hacer milagros, señales y prodigios en esta
this
casa este día.
This was a day that God wanted to present to all of us.
Este es el día que Dios quiere presentarnos a todos nosotros.
And he's going to show us this day that God is going to be all powerful.
Y te va a mostrar en este día que Él es el Dios Todopoderoso.
And the strength and the power of God is in this place.
Y la fortaleza y el poder de Dios está en esta casa.
And the fire of God is ready to be placed out upon your lives.
El poder de Dios está a punto a ponerte en lugares en tu vida.
And his life is ready to pour out upon you by fire.
En donde su vida va a comenzar a ser puesta en pie a través de fuego.
And he's giving us great hope.
Y te está entregando una nueva esperanza.
He's giving us great hope.
Te está entregando una nueva esperanza.
And thank you, Lord.
Y gracias, Señor.
For giving us.
Por darnos.
An area of being better together.
Una área en la cual somos mejores juntos.
And thank God for interpreters.
Gracias a Dios por los intérpretes.
Men of God, women of God.
Hombres y mujeres de Dios.
That speak the words.
Que hablan la palabra.
Whether it be in Spanish, whether it be in Pakistani, whatever we're at.
Ya sea en español, en pakistaní o cualquier lugar donde él esté.
And that's what it's all about.
De eso es que se trata.
Us working together.
Trabajando juntos.
As one body.
Como un solo cuerpo.
Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Llenos del Espíritu Santo de Dios.
And allowing God to take over our lives completely.
Permitiendo que Dios tome nuestra vida completamente.
This is fun when you have interpreters
oh,
like
que
this.
Se mira bonito cuando tienes un intérprete a tu lado.
Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. May you go with the power and peace of God. If you're needing prayer,